Broadcasting live from the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for FinTech South 2018. Brought to you by PPRO, taking the complexity out of payments. Now, here are your hosts.
And we are back. Stone Payton Lee Cantor here with you, broadcasting live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is a beautiful venue. We're here for FinTech South 2018. We have made some really good friends, had some interesting conversations. And Lee, I think this is going to live up to that advanced press. Please join me in welcoming to the show Joe Stark, Head of Americas, and Mike Steinharder, Chief Commercial Officer, both with Earthport. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about Earthport? How are you serving folks?
Oh, sure. I'll give you the quick overview. So we're a London-based company, which is regulated in the area of cross-border payments. So we help our customers make low-value payments all around the world using a network that taps into the ACH bank network in almost 90 countries. So we can deliver payments to almost every bank account in the world. It is a more efficient process than the old school correspondent banking environment, which sets up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different bank accounts around the world. We're essentially a central clearing function for cross-border payments. We're specialists in that regard.
So now what brings you to FinTech South?
Well, we were invited by the Department of International Trade, the UK government, which was an honor to come along and be one of...
Department of National Trade, the acronym is DON'T.
It's all right. Now let me try that again.
It's DIT.
Department of International.
Internet.
Trade.
It's do it. It's not do it. It's that's do right. it.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not Nike.
Okay.
So now, when you told your significant others that you were coming to North America for this event, did they go, "Oh, it's probably going to be in Atlanta, so get ready"?
Yeah. So you got your finger on it. I guess what I'm learning is that Atlanta's established themselves as a fintech center. That's kind of cool. It's good for them. You know, they're cultivating an awful lot of energy here using the academic world and the establishment of payments companies, thanks to some work that the Federal Reserve did here in Atlanta. So this is a learning experience for a lot of us. It's kind of cool.
So now, were you surprised?
Yeah, I was.
So when you heard about the event, you thought it was probably going to be in like New York or San Francisco, Boston.
Yep, the usual spots.
Usual right. suspects.
Or on the West Coast, right? I mean, we all know the Silicon Valley is the innovation hub of the world. But really, when you look at the number of payments that are processed in the world, they're done through Atlanta-based companies.
Right.
It seemed pretty logical that this would be a good stop for us.
So now, how's your experience been thus far?
It's great, except that Joe's got to work on his soccer skills.
you played with the giant dartboard. Well, you saw the dartboard. That's what got you, right?
That's what got us here.
Right. Yeah. No, we got to tell our listeners, right? We're straight across from at the other end of the field, or I guess is at the end of the field, is this huge dartboard, and you kick what? Is it a Velcro?
You kick a Velcro ball, right. and it's supposed to attach itself to the dartboard.
Yeah, you don't see stuff like that in San Francisco.
No, right?
No, they don't have that there.
No, this is Atlanta high tech.
Are you going to bring that back to the UK? Is that going to fit in your
carry-on? We're going to introduce soccer to the UK.
The dartboard soccer.
That's what we're going to do.
It's a new concept.
Yep. New idea.
So now, how do you attack a FinTech South like this? Are you just kind of walking through the aisles of Innovation Alley? Are you going to some of the speaking that's happening? How are you attacking it?
We're doing both, and actually, you know, the good news is that we don't suffer from a lack of brand recognition, so we're not out there introducing ourselves. We've been in business for quite some time, and I think from all the major banks and a lot of the companies that are doing massive amounts of payments, we're very well known. So it's a good conference for us to, you know, again, expose ourselves and show our commitment to the space, but it's not really one of introductions. It's one of just cementing relationships and furthering discussions.
Now, are you exploring ways to do different things in the future or more things with these people you already know?
We are. We're well established, as Joe said, as a provider of payments to bank accounts around the world. But we know that we can't stand still, so we want to start delivering to card networks and mobile wallets, and we've already started working with blockchain technology and other distributed ledger technologies. So a chance to mix, network, learn from some of the other high-tech firms, meet with clients and prospects from the banking industry and other industries who have the need for payments. It's a good opportunity for us.
Now, when you talk about something like blockchain, is that something that people are now just accepting as this is going to be the future and they're going all in on this, or they're still kind of testing the water?
A personal opinion, blockchain is accepted as a new technology with multiple use cases, and some of those are farther along than others. Using blockchain for real estate transactions, for mortgage, for trade finance are reasonably obvious. The use case in payments is still being tested. So there are a number of banks who are piloting technology from places like IBM and Ripple and R3 and Ethereum. Several of our customers have asked us to help them implement blockchain technology, a publicly announced project at Santander. Banco Santander in Europe is using Ripple to access the Earthport network for cross-border payments. So it's on its way is the best way to look at it.
Now, what's the time frame in your opinion?
Oh, I think it'll to be fully established as a standard in some of those use cases, probably 5 years.
Now, what about to the cryptocurrencies to be used and traded a little more efficiently than it is now?
Yeah, and you're right to distinguish between crypto and blockchain. Those are different topics.
Right.
I think digital currencies will become standard when they are fiat backed by the central governments. At that point in time, the trailblazers from places like Bitcoin and others will be seen as having excited the market and trailblazed, but the way of the future is going to be, you know, properly choreographed and backed by central bank fiat currencies. That's what's going to happen. And it's already started.
So the winners and losers haven't been determined yet in that area?
Not in that area, no.
I mean, we're not. How close are we?
Oh, probably 10 years.
10 years for that.
Yeah. But you're going to start seeing some of the central governments now are already establishing digital currencies. And for those who will get the benefit, I mean, if you want real-time or instant payments, you'll be able to get it. But there are already faster payment schemes around the world that can deliver that with or without digital currency.
And I think just to add to that, you know, the thing that's happening now is we're seeing a lot of toes being dipped in the water in terms of experimentation with distributed ledger technologies. But the payment still needs to be made. And what we need to keep our eyes focused on is the fact that, you know, innovation is necessary to keep abreast of the changes in the technologies that are occurring. But the making secure payments on behalf of your customers is still paramount and core to a business function. So companies are looking to Earthport to make those payments for them, and experimenting with, as Mike talked about, with the Ripple and the Santander example, the ways of communicating the instruction of those messages.
Yeah, don't forget that this is a highly regulated part of global commerce, and you know, processes like KYC or Know Your Customer and the monitoring of transactions and keeping up with the regulatory changes in all the different jurisdictions is a non-trivial effort. That's why we went through the process of trying to get regulated ourselves so that we could be on top of that.
Now, how do you marry the challenges of the customer expectation of instantaneous or faster and secure and private? How do you guys kind of work through that?
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, there's not really a choice, right? We have to do both. We have to do it all well, right? So compliance is non-negotiable. The old saying is you can't outsource your risk or outsource your compliance function. Mm-hmm. So you need to do all of that properly and do it well. And the players that are emerging as the dominant players in the space are ones that can accomplish speed of delivery, low cost in terms of the provision of the service, and doing it in a secure environment that complies with all the regulations, both in the United States, UK, as well as in every jurisdiction that the payment's being made.
But you can't get around the need for the compliance function, for the KYC, no matter what type of currency you're using or what jurisdiction. That's probably the most important, you know, USP in our business, is that function.
Now, how do you stay ahead of the bad guys?
I'd say we take the same focus to compliance that any major bank would. In fact, probably one-fifth of our whole company is dedicated to compliance. We're doing all the same daily transaction monitoring and payment screening that a bank would.
Yeah, it's the transaction monitoring as much as anything, staying ahead of the bad guys. If we see the wrong type of patterns based on our experience and the technology we use, we cut that stuff off very quickly. I'll tell you an example. a very large global bank is a client of ours that was processing payments on behalf of a very large e-commerce company in the U.S. We detected what we thought were some fraudulent payments. We called that bank, highlighted that to them, and they said, thank you, they'll investigate. They investigated, called us back and said, no, we don't see a problem. Please release the payments. We said, no, we can't do that. I mean, we have an obligation. You need to go talk to your e-commerce client and have them do their own investigation. They did so, came back, said, yep, these were fraudulent. So, you know, these guys will sleep a little better knowing that they've got an extra belt and braces.
So now, if somebody wanted to learn more about you guys, what's the best way to find you online?
Yeah, earthport.com is our website, and you're welcome to Joe's cell phone number too.
If I'm not kicking soccer balls.
So, Mike, Joe, what is going to enable you to declare success from this trip? What's going to have you high-fiving in the parking lot on the way back?
You know what? We're in a game for scale because we provide basically infrastructure in this global network that we've established. So the more people that are interested in playing. Yeah, we're in the background. It's sort of an Intel Inside, you know, branding environment. So we'll be happy at the end of this week if we've got a lot of people who said, yeah, okay, I'd like to explore this more fully. And based on the first morning, I think we're off to a good start.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. Well, thank you both for coming to visit with us. Good luck in continuing to explore these relationships. And I got to tell you, man, we're delighted that you felt like it was worth your time and energy to come hang out with us here and to come see us on this side of the pond.
Not only that, we enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back in a few from FinTech South 2018.
This interview has been brought to you by Business Radio X and PPRO. PPRO takes the complexity out of payments. For more information, go to ppro.com.